Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
All right, let's get into the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here. Lord, we thank you for each person that's here today. That you are in love with us. Lord, we want to be in love with you. We want to join you in that relationship. We don't want it to be one-sided. You love each one of us. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, you love each one of us. Lord, we thank you that you are our God. There is none like you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Whether you're a man, you're a woman, I was talking about you guys, not about God, yeah? You're like, is he asking God whether he's a man or a woman? God is God. We're not going to get into that topic today. But in this month, we love getting into the topics in Pneuma South. But we're united on one thing, that Jesus is King. He is Lord. He died on the cross. He rose again. And he's given us resurrection power, and he lives in us today. So this month of October, we're doing something at Pneuma called a Legacy Series. Legacy series, because this month Pneuma turns, or actually this year, we turn 100 years. Wow. Richmond Temple, one of the first Pentecostal churches in Australia, turned 100 years this year, and we have so much to celebrate. So we're going to just be talking about legacy and what that means. And we've got a big party coming up on the 26th of October. We're going to be celebrating 100 years here in the morning. Every location will be celebrating. And then we're all going to join, if you are in Victoria, which you are in Melbourne, we're all going to be going to Richmond to celebrate together. There's going to be people that used to come to Richmond 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 20 years ago, current. We're all going to get together and celebrate God's goodness. But as part of that today, we want to talk about people and praise. People and praise. Let's go to Psalm 145. Come with me to Psalm 145 in your Bibles. Psalm 145. It says these words. It starts off, even the heading says, a song of praise of David. A song of praise of David. So this is David speaking. This is David praying. He says, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Verse 10, all your works give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. He didn't say amen, but you said it because you heard it. So people and praise. This Psalm 21 verses, it's all about praise. Who knows, throughout the Psalms we hear about praise. This is David's last Psalm that he writes. This guy, David, he knows the Lord. He knows God. He says in Psalm 145, what does he say? He says, I will extol my God and King and bless your name forever and ever. He's saying he's going to be blessing the Lord, blessing his name forever and ever into eternity. It's not just going to stop when he dies. He's going to be blessing the Lord in eternity. This whole psalm gives us a picture of what we see in Revelation 4, the holy host of angels praising, worshiping God. We have so much to praise and worship our God for. So much. When you start to praise him, you actually can't stop. It's hard to stop if you really start to praise him, because there's so much to praise him for. We don't just praise him for what he's done, what he does, but for who he is. This psalm here, 145, is the only psalm you find in 150 psalms that in the heading or in the title says a song of praise. There's so much praise in the psalms, but this is the one psalm where it actually says, this is a song of praise. When you study this psalm and you look at it, it actually has this pattern. It's an acrostic poem. Acrostic. I'm like, what's acrostic? It means each verse actually begins with a successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. If you looked at this in Hebrew, you'd see it'll be going from the first letter in that alphabet right to the last letter is how each stanza or verse starts. There's like this poetic edge to this. And David uses this as his praise. This psalm uses many words to express or explain what praise is. It uses other words that mean to praise. The word extol, I will extol. It means I will lift up the Lord. Why do we need to lift up the Lord? Well, he's already lifted up. We get to lift him up so that we can be aligned with his heart, so that we can actually see him as he is. It aligns our hearts when we extol his name. It uses the word commend. One generation shall commend your works. To commend is to praise. It uses the word declare. And shall declare your mighty acts. Meditate, sing aloud, give thanks. We see all these words about praising. See, praise is a commendation given to someone for something or for a characteristic, for something they've done or for a characteristic that they have. This is what praise is, to adore, to admire, praise. Are we a people that praise? Do we praise others? There's nothing wrong with encouraging and building people up. All we need is found in God. But how much do we have a need sometimes to be praised by others? Are you a praise desperado or are you a praise giver? A praise desperado would be someone who's just so desperate to be praised by others, that they will do things just to be seen, just to be spoken well of. That's an unhealthy way of looking and needing praise. But yet God chooses to use each one of us to give others praise, to build each other up. But the ultimate praise, the main praise, is to be given to him, to God. He is the one who is worthy of our praise. You see, if you are going to be one that will have a healthy relationship with God, where you praise Him. You get to know Him as you praise Him. He actually reveals Himself. You get to know Him more. You get to know yourself. You come to a place of being secure in your identity, in who you are, in God. So much that you also be others focused, because that's God's heart. So you have no problems with encouraging, with complimenting others, because you're doing it out of being others focused and loving Him. But then what happens in reverse is that you become praiseworthy. So people just start to praise you, not in the way of praising God, but actually they're seeing what you value and what you speak. So they start to value you and encourage you. In the psalm, we actually see David right at the end. He ends with, "My mouth." What does he say? "My mouth will praise the Lord." Look at Psalm 145 right at the end. It says, "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord." How does he get to this place of where his mouth speaks praise of the Lord? Do you find it effort, hard work to praise the Lord? We can be a people that pray, but not praise. You can be someone who prays, but not praise. Someone who prays, P-R-A-Y-S, but not praise. But you can't be someone who praises. You can't praise without prayer. It takes prayer to praise. But our prayer needs to move also into praising Him. So how is it that David, this guy, when I look at David, man, I want to be like, David, you're a shepherd? I want to be a shepherd. How good is that? David was a giant killer. He killed Goliath. I want to be a giant killer. I have issues in life that I need to slay. You too. There you go. I want to kill giants. David was a poet. We see it as we read. I'm like, man, I want to do that. I want to say some cool things that people go, whoa. There's so much about David that we desire. And we see how, out of who he was, he praised God. But then there's things about David, I'm like, bro, you committed adultery. You cheated on your wife. But yet he still praises God. There's things about David that we all actually experience. He was a liar. He was a murderer. But yet he praised God. Do you know what the difference was with David to most people? He didn't keep sinning in the same way over and over again. He was quick to repent. When God picked him up on it, he would repent and he would move on and do what God was asking him to do. But you know what else with David? And this is where praise comes from. Comes from all of this, all these experiences. Even though God forgave him, God didn't take the consequences away. His children still went through things. His kids were killing each other. His kids were going against him. But yet, his mouth would declare the praises of the Lord. We have so much we can learn from David. When I think about praise, praise is actually stirred up or blocked by what we look at. Praise is stirred up or blocked by what we are looking at. When I'm talking about what we're looking at, I'm talking about what we're thinking about, what we're focusing on. This is what will block praise or actually stir it up so that there can be praise in our life. Remember what praise is? It's commendation of someone or expressing warmth to something or someone, adoration, respect, gratitude. We did a lot of praising today. But today I really want to talk to us about living a life of praise. Having praise as our default. This is what David had in his life. When we look at God, And when we look at ourselves, there's no comparison. When you actually look to God and you look to yourself, when you think about God, when you focus on God, and then you look at yourself, there's no comparison, because you start to see who God is, what He's done, what He does, what He's doing, and you actually can't help but praise Him. When you start to look at Him, not at your situation, not at the hurt, not at the betrayal, not at the confusion, you start to look at Him. You see that He's majestic. You see that He's wonderful. You see that He's forgiving. You see that He's faithful. You see that He's a healer. And even if those things you're not seeing, guess what? Keep praising Him, because He still is that. And at some point when He wills, He will do that in your life. But if you look at Him and ask Him, you'll see that He's actually doing something, even if He's not doing what you want Him to do. So praise is stirred up or blocked by what we're looking at. It's not based on how you feel. Praise, when we talk about praising God, is not based on how I feel. It's based on who He is. Amen. It's to be based on what He's done and what He's doing. What you look at, who you look at, will either block your praise or stir up that praise. But when we start to look at Him, when we start to praise God, that's why I don't know what you do when you get into quiet time with the Lord, when you want to just have a devotion, when you want to spend some time with God. It's good to just start with some praise music, thanking Him, or just start praying with your words and just thanking Him, gratitude, speaking in tongues, whatever it is, start to declare. Because when you start to praise Him, things shift. The Bible in Psalm 22 verse 3 says, the Lord enthrones the praises of His people. It says that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. So when you praise Him, He actually comes and lives within our praises. He goes, I am welcome here. And He starts to reveal Himself. So you start to see things clearer. You start to see Him clearer. You start to see your situation clearer through His eyes. Praise is stirred up by what we're looking at. Praise is actually a resource. It's a tool. It's a weapon. Are you using the weapon of praise? It's also a posture. But it's not just a posture. It's actually a posture where, as you're in that posture, it actually leads to something. It leads to giving out. Giving out of that posture of praise. Praise is a doing word. Yeah. Praise is not just always about singing. It's not always about being vocal. It talks about I meditate. It can be silent. Praise can just be in what you're doing. Praise. What will you leave behind? This is the question I want to ask you today. What will you leave behind that will live on? What am I talking about leaving behind? We're talking about legacy. Look at what David left behind. Look, we're still praising God today because he praised God. He praised God, and it is written, and it lives on. Thousands of years later, David praised God because Moses had spoken to the Israelites and said, these words, teach them to your children and your children's children. Put it on your doorposts. Put it as signals on your hands. And these are the words that we hear being spoken. And thousands of years later, we're still speaking those words. What words are we leaving behind when you speak to someone and then you go? What words are you leaving behind? When you spend time with someone at work, what are you leaving behind that lives on once after you're gone? This is what legacy is. Legacy is about what you leave behind that will have a long-lasting impact. What will you leave behind that will live on? Think about that. What's actually going to outlive you? What we have is what we can give. What we give is what we leave. What we have is what we give. It's what we can give, and what we give is what we leave. This is what legacy is. David left a legacy of praise. Will we pass on a legacy of praise? For us to pass that on, a lifestyle of praise, we have to live it. See, praise is giving testimony is praise. When you give a testimony today about what the Lord is doing and has done, that will become a testimony for someone else tomorrow. Our testimonies are powerful. What will you pass on to the next generation? It's good to see the kids come in and see the camp and enjoy that. They're hearing the testimony. Now they're going to be, I want to go to camp next year. So if you didn't bring your kids to camp, guess what? They're going to be saying, Mom, I want to go next year. We're passing on the legacy. But you know what? We're part of a church that's 100 years old. Legacy has been passed on. And we get to pass that on. No matter what has happened over those 100 years, we have a part today to play. And it starts at home. Yes, it's in church, but it starts at home. What are you teaching your children? Do you wait for us from the pulpit or from kids' church to teach your children how to praise? To teach your children how to pray? Or do you actually teach them yourself? Do I teach my own kids? One thing that we love to do at home is share highlights every night at dinner. We sit around the table. And this is a word for someone right now. You need to start sitting at the table with your children and actually just talking about the day. Because sometimes we can be in situations where, I remember growing up, we'll just watch TV whilst we eat. But how good is it when you can sit at the table? We just share highlights. We say, what was your highlight of the day? And the kids share their highlights. And something great just comes out of that. What are things that you're teaching your children that they'll be able to pass on? See, when we talk about praise, praise is actually setting a price on something. When you praise something, you're actually setting a value. And when you think about praising God, you try to tell him how good he is, how wonderful he is. You're putting a value on him. But as you do that, you realize that, as David says, he's unfathomable. He's unsearchable. 145, verse 3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. We can't put a value on him. But we still get to praise him. And as we do that, we actually discover more and more and more and more. When's the last time you praised him with all your heart? Where you actually went, I'm going to stop doing that. And I'm just going to focus on him. Because he's more important than my children. He's more important than my work. He's more important than anything else. I'm just going to praise him. There's something in that. He inhabits the praises of his people. A legacy of praise is actually about what comes out of your heart through your mouth. But that which is in your heart should be a God revelation that comes from praising him. As you praise him, he reveals himself to you. You just start with, God, you are good. God, you are mighty. God, there is none like you. He goes, I like that. Tell me more. You keep telling him, but he starts showing you more about himself. When you spend time with God, there's this quote about when you are getting to know God, as we get to know God, C.S. Lewis has this quote that goes something like this. God will be like an onion that has infinite layers. But instead of getting smaller when you peel it, God just keeps getting bigger. You think about an onion, when you peel the layers off an onion, it gets smaller, doesn't it? You're getting more down to that core part. But with God, as he reveals more of himself to us, he actually gets bigger. He gets bigger. It's not that he's not already bigger, but it's because we are limited. We are limited by things around us. We limit ourselves on how we can see him. Let's look at what the generations in Psalm 145 were actually passing on about praise, or what had been passed on in the generations. Come with me to Psalm 145, verse 4 to 9. David says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. They shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works, I will meditate." It's saying that he is glorious in splendor. He has wondrous works. It says, "They shall speak of your might, your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." We have so much to praise him for. We just have to make the room to praise him. What I love when I look at verse 10, it says, "All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord." All your works. Think about what God has done, what he does, all his works, all his creation. It says, "All of them shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you." Who are his saints? His people, all of us. It says, "All your works shall give thanks to you." Think about his works. Think about his creation. Think of the animals. Think of the mountains. Think of the rivers, the oceans. It says that they shall give thanks to you. But do you know there's a difference between all of God's creation and people? People can actually express and get to know true gratitude. Other than angels, only humans, I believe, are able to actually express gratitude and worship in the way that has been spoken about. Everything else, yes, everything else shall give thanks to you. But you know how they do that? They just do that by being what they are. The ocean does that by being the ocean. The birds do that by being birds and singing. They do that just by what they are, who they are. But we actually get to express, to be intentional, to get to know him more, to relate to him and be a people of praise. So if we don't praise him, who else is going to praise him? It says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." But there's something different about the breath that we have, because you tell me, what other creation had God's breath breathed into it? It was only Adam. It's only us that have had the ruach, the pneuma, breathe into his nostrils. So there's something powerful about your praise and my praise. But we can also learn a lot from his creation. So what is it that would actually stop us from being a people of praise, having a lifestyle of praise, having a default of praise? I said before, praise is stirred up or blocked by what we're looking at. Let's talk about what actually blocks praise in you and I. Praise is blocked when you look down. Praise is blocked when I look down. Where are you looking? What do I mean by looking down? When we focus on others in an unhealthy way, when we compare ourselves to others and we lose sight of God and we're just looking sideways, wow, how come he's got that? How come she's got that? How come I haven't done that? Where's the praise to God? Where's the encouragement for others? It's because we're not looking where we're supposed to look. We're looking down. So praise gets blocked and we miss out on what actually God wants to say, what he wants to do, and what he's created us for. When we see others doing well, if we're looking in the right place, we will say, Lord, thank you. Wow. Look at how he's blessed that guy with that family, with those children, with that car, with that house, with the traveling, whatever it is. We actually celebrate God's goodness and faithfulness. And if we think maybe they've got it wrong in how they're doing it, then we pray for them at the same time. But yet, we are thankful because the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. What else blocks our praise? What else does it look like looking down? It's when we become critical. We start looking at others and we go, well, I know better. They're getting it wrong. We start to be critical. We all know what being critical is. I don't need to explain that. And at different points, we all do it. But we have to catch ourselves. The Holy Spirit will convict us. When we become condemning others. Well, the Bible says, so you shouldn't do this. And we do it not out of love, but out of legalism. What else blocks praise? Being judgmental, blaming others, holding on to offense. It's all these things that will block praise. Praise is blocked when we get caught up in our own misery, when we get caught up looking at our problems. We all have problems. If you don't have any problems in your life, please come tell me about it. But when we start focusing so much on the problem that we're stuck and that's all we can see, we're looking down. God's like, hey, I'm here. He's even like, hey, I'm here. No, but Lord, I just can't get out of this. It's the same thing. They're doing this, they're doing that. But if we actually look to him, if we look to his word, we start to see the problem, you know it, through his eyes, not through our eyes. Jesus is like, what are you on about? I told you in the book of John that you would have problems. Did you think I was lying to you? But I told you I would overcome. I have overcome. So start looking at me. Start abiding in me. And I'll take you through this. He didn't say I'll take you out of it. I'll take you through it. But guess what? He can also take you out of it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation, no trial has seized man except that which is common to man. And that God will not allow you to be tempted or tried beyond what you can bear. And that he'll give you a way out. So we've got to look not just at our situation, but keep our eyes on him. It's okay to get down. It's okay to get angry. Righteous anger. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be depressed. It's okay to be anxious. But it's not okay to stay there. It's not okay to stay there. These are things we'll experience. These are things we'll feel. These are things we'll go through. But we can't stay there. God does not want you and I to stay there. Jesus did not die on the cross and rise up again so that you stay there. But he died to give us access to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, so that we'd have power. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by his Spirit. The power of his Spirit to overcome. So guess what? That means we need to look up. Praise is blocked when you look down, but praise flows when you look up. What does looking up look like? Focusing on him, seeking him, making it all about him, putting him first. When you look up, you see him rightly. When you look up, when you praise like David praised, you start to see him rightly. And you realize that God is always on the move. He's always on the move. He's always at work. He's always doing something. He's always working on your behalf. So when you see that he's on the move, when you look up, guess what? He moves you. You're moved. You're moved to joy. You're moved to praise. You're moved to compassion. You're moved to obedience because you're looking up. You're moved to patience. You're moved to silence. Whatever it is, he moves you as he moves because you're looking up. See, when you look up, you actually can't help but testify of what you've seen. You can't help but testify of what he's done and what he's doing. Will we be a people of praise? What does praise sound like? What does praise look like? It's not just a loud, clappy, joyous shout. Praise can look like so many different things. We see it all through the Bible. David says, though, that your praise will always be on my lips. It might not always be a sound, but there's got to be something on your lips. And that needs to be praise. Praise, praise, praise. Ian and the team, if you could come back up. Let's be a people and a church that keeps peeling those layers. Those layers, as we seek God, we see those layers coming off and we see God for who he is and we see God in a bigger and greater way. I want to ask you today, what's stopping praising God from being your default? What's stopping praising God from being your default? Is it the news you got about your work? Is it the news about your child? Is it the person that disappointed you? Is it the unanswered prayer? What would you think the Lord would want for you? Even though you're not getting what you want, in that situation, there's something he wants for you. Praise is what's going to unlock that. Praise is going to unlock it. Just think about the things that God's already done for you. For me, we forget. We forget. I know stories I've had where God has hooked me up with a great job and it's been a miracle. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. And then I start working in this job. 3 months later, I've forgotten. I'm complaining about the boss. I'm complaining about this job. It's boring. But it was a miracle 3 months ago. Do you know why that is? It's because we're quick to forget and we're slow to praise. Quick to forget and slow to praise. But if you make a decision that you're going to be one that is quick to praise and slow to forget, then you will not forget about what the Lord has done. And you'll keep tapping into who he is. You'll keep tapping into what he has for you today. No matter how hard, no matter how disappointing, he is your strength. These words were written for the Israelites hundreds of years before that. In Deuteronomy, God says, don't forget these words when you get to the promised land. You will get to the promised land and then you'll start to say, we earned this. We worked for this. You forget that the milk and honey was promised by God who got you out of Egypt. And you'll start to worship other idols. And they did all of that. They were given the words. But yet they went to the promised land and they forgot. And they went in cycles over and over again. But Jesus came so that we would stop going through those cycles. Jesus came so that we would have a mark on us and in us of the Holy Spirit that we would not forget. Can we stand together this morning? What's stopping praising God from being your default? Can we be a people who have praise in their mouths? Can we be like David that says, my mouth will speak praise? A people that look at him. A people that just don't praise him for his hand. A people that don't just praise him for what he's put in your hand. You actually praise him for who he is.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.